Welcome to Red Sox Digest, the only show where pain, sarcasm, and a dash of hope collide nightly like a Trevor Story strikeout. We cover every loss, every meltdown, and yes, even the rare win with brutally honest takes and zero front office fluff. Subscribe today at RedSoxDigest.com or risk being left out in the cold like a home game in April. And now, here's the crew at Red Sox Digest.
Good evening. My name is Jim Delfino. I am the host of Red Sox Digest. I'm joined today in the studio with Nick Face. Nick, how you doing today?
Jim, always a pleasure. Great to be here.
Great to see you. I want to talk a little bit today about, we'll start off with Rafael Devers, introduced today as a member of the San Francisco Giants. A lot on Twitter and other websites talking about that. Nick, what's your reaction to all this?
I'm still trying to take it all in. I'm still trying to take in that Sunday night when we got the news of Devers being traded. It shocked everybody around here. You know, Devers' whole thing from this press conference today is being the good soldier. He's doing exactly what the owners want. He's doing exactly what his new manager, Bob Melvin, wants. He's going to be playing first base. He's going to be playing third base if they need him. And, of course, going to be able to be a DH. Exactly what the Red Sox wanted him to do. So my biggest takeaway here is that relationship was so bad and so volatile that Devers would not do one damn thing that Cora or Breslow or Kennedy or Henry wanted him to do. Because it all goes back to the way it was handled when Alex Bregman was signed as a Red Sox during spring training.
Who do you put the blame on here? Do you put the blame on Devers? Do you put the blame on ownership and management? Do you think it's a little bit of a blame going around on both sides? What do you think about that?
I have to go with, there's a lot of blame to go around on a lot of different sides. I think it starts with poor communication and being led on. I mean, Devers was led on from the very beginning here, from Breslow, from Alex Cora, from ownership. Oh, don't worry. Those are just rumors. We're not going after Bregman. We're not going after Arenado. Don't worry, Devers. You're our third baseman. You're our guy. I mean, Jim, how many times did we hear it when spring training was going on? We heard, Raffy's our third baseman. He will be at third base. Don't worry about it. He's going to be there. That's what triggered this whole thing. Now, on the other end, I look at the Devers situation. I can understand Devers being a little ticked off. And again, I say little, because still, the Boston Red Sox are your employer. They're the ones that are writing you your check. They're the ones that are asking you to do a job. And your job should be to be going to play wherever they need you to do. Be a team player. If they need you at first base, go to first base. If you're going to be playing third base, play third base. The other big thing I have to say here too, the Red Sox severely botched this by when Bregman was signed and when they said Bregman was going to be their third baseman. They told Devers to put his glove away. Who does that? Who does that? Because that just strangleholded your entire roster. That means Devers is not going to be playing first base. He is going to be your designated hitter, which also meant, what are you going to do with Masataka Yoshida? You know, you put him in the witness protection program. So you really hurt your team. And it's amazing that all of this played out, and it's now June, and, you know, the Red Sox are a 500 team right now.
Yeah, you know, going into the season, regardless of the Bregman signing, I had felt that they needed another bat on top of a potential Bregman signing. So now you look at, and we talked about this on the space, the Twitter space the other night. Now you look at the fact that your lineup doesn't have Devers. It doesn't have Casas, and I'm not a Casas fan. Doesn't have a Bregman. This could really be a potential problem. So they better make sure that they strike gold with all three of these kids, because if they don't, they're in for a really rude awakening. And as it relates to Devers, I see both sides of this problem. Number one, was he not treated with respect? Did they really give him no clout as it relates to you're going to be the DH, you're no longer a third baseman, and catch him off guard and say, well, I am a third baseman, and why are you doing this to me type of approach? Yeah. And did he just kind of smack them back in the head by, you know, being so disagreeable? One of the things that I have a problem with this trade is I'm still going to go back to there's a level of this being a salary dump. And the reason why I'm going to bring that up is because there is a rumor out there that another team was involved that was interested in acquiring him. And, you know, maybe we'll find out who was involved in that package that would have come over to see, you know, for our team. Yep. But the report that's out there is that the Red Sox would have had to eat some of the money.
Yep.
And John Henry said no.
Yep. Yep.
And so as a result of that, we got what we have. I just think it's very disingenuous. I was watching the Breslow and Sam Kennedy conference last night, which of course was on Zoom. Can't do it live anymore because they don't want to.
They're little cowards.
Yeah, they're a bunch of cowards. Yep. And Sam Kennedy kept saying, we couldn't find alignment with Devers. And Breslow kept saying.
Can you say alignment one more time? Say it again.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know what? It's like Roxanne from, you know, the Police. Drinking game. And Breslow kept saying that, you know, we're looking to make this team better. It strikes me very difficult to be able to say that your team is better after losing one of your top two offensive guys. I'm using the other one as Bregman as a reference here, but this kid's been with this team since he's 16 years old. It's all he knew. It's all he grew around. And the Boston Red Sox, you know, in a lot of these Dominican countries and Cuba and so forth, they're well renowned. They're loved. Everybody wants to be a Boston Red Sox. And, you know, you had David Ortiz in your corner to try to help you muddy the waters through this, which I'm sure we'll talk about how he had some comments to make about it as well. And now he gets introduced as a San Francisco Giant and says, to your point, I'll do whatever this team wants me to do. And my question is, why wouldn't you do that for the Boston Red Sox? That a team that gave you your contract, they bet on you, they had faith in you, they kept you over Mookie and Xander, regardless of how you want to say that played out. He was the guy that they chose to keep in this scenario. I just find that perhaps there is some level of disrespect to the ownership group, more so than disrespect to Devers, because he, at the end of the day, is the employee. And I think that if you are a leader, and I'm not saying he is, but if you want to set a good example, you say, I got to put this team on my back. I need them to play. I need to play first base here, or I need to play third in Bregman's absence.
I mean, I think you hit it right there with the whole leader. I think the Red Sox wanted him to be that leader since they gave him that deal in 2023. I'm actually going to take a step back with it. You mark my words. If you hear a cricket on the wall or something right now at Fenway Park with Breslow, Henry, Kennedy, all them, this Devers move reeked of pure desperation. Reeked. Because the Red Sox knew, what are they going to do? They'd have to do something because the fans were ready to explode. They just went off to that winter weekend, if you remember that way back then, and got booed off the stage. And that winter weekend is no more. There's no more of it because Henry and at the time, I think it was Bloom.
Like you said, they're
annihilated. Annihilated. So Henry knew he had to do something. I don't think he wanted to make this move. I really don't. But they had to do something. I think the Red Sox knew deep down they gave every opportunity they could for Devers to be that leader. But I think everything soured for Devers once Mookie left and once Xander left, because those are his BFFs. I was actually surprised this whole deal went down in 2023. We could dial the tapes back 2 years ago and hear me say exactly what I did, but I was very surprised because I, in the back of my mind, I kept saying Devers needs somebody else with him to be a catalyst on this team. Devers didn't have that. They wanted him to be that guy, and he never was going to be that guy. He's a great hitter. Don't get me wrong. Great hitter. Did a great job for everything that was there. But I think the Red Sox, with this contract and everything that they were hoping for, expected more. Expected him to be that guy that could help the young guys come up and be that catalyst of showing them the Red Sox way. You and I both know there is no Red Sox way right now. It's a disgusting mess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm hearing reports and reading reports now. Julian McWilliams had a report, and he was talking about how the Red Sox wanted Devers to engage in some media and advertising and things like that, and he turned it down.
Yep.
He ghosted them on many occasions. So I think we're going to see more and more of this leak out over the course of the next few weeks. And in typical Red Sox fashion, it's always going to be where there's a smear campaign on the person exiting the door.
It's already started, 100%. Yeah,
whether it's Roger Clemens, whether it's Nomar,
Terry Francona,
there's always a smear campaign. So the Red Sox only care about the Red Sox. And frankly, they care more about outside talent than they do their own talent. Yep. They spend more trying to bring in outsiders than really take care of their own children. And they've been doing this for decades.
I mean, if you go with a Fenway Park right now, they care more about the infrastructure around Fenway Park. They care more about the MGM Hall. They care about how many bricks are going to be sold on their sidewalks. They care about it being a museum. It's like you're going to watch a friggin' theater show. What is this? They're not taking care of the bottom line, their number one priority, which should be their team. It's been a mess since 2019. I get really fed up, Jim, when people start talking about, oh, don't forget 2021. Stop. Don't even go there. That team had no business being where they were that year. None. They got lucky in the last 2 weeks of the season and got there. So don't start with the, oh, don't forget 2021. It has been a mess since 2019.
There were 500 team, including that 21 season, over the last 6 years. And you can add it up. That's exactly where they're at. Now, looking past a post-Rafael Devers roster, you just got rid of, and we talked about a few minutes ago, your arguably one of your best offensive threats in that lineup.
Yep.
What do you do now to satisfy a fan base that is in an uproar right now? Breslow has talked about financial flexibility moving forward for this team. And I cannot, for the life of me, imagine that they would go out and pump their muscle and take on some contract that is albatross from another team that's a player owed $150 million anywhere else. And the reason why I say that is because Henry didn't want to take on any money from this other potential trading partner. And I salivate to know what that deal may have included.
I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, Jim, they're not going to replace anything with it. They're not. Let's be real. Stop fooling and stop lying to your fan base. We know 100% that $250 million that you got off from Devers, it's going to be replaced with Romy Gonzalez, Abraham Toro, your rookies that are coming up. That's it. That's it. I mean, that's what you're going to get. I'm hopeful. I really like our guys that we coming up. I'm really high on Roman Anthony. I hope the kid is going to learn and understand Major League Baseball. That's what I want to see. I mean, it was a great home run that he hit last night, but you're going to have to go through a lot of growing pains. Same with Marcelo Meyer. That's a kid that has a lot of talent. I think that he has the most potential out of the bunch with being that five-tool kind of guy. I mean, already the glove looks sick. It is MLB ready. He looks great right there. Tristan Campbell needs to go back down to Worcester. You heard it here. He just does. He has a lot to learn. A lot to learn. And I don't want to see, and I said it in our little chat that we have for our Red Sox Digest last night, I don't want another Wilton Vera story. He came up 99 and 2000. You know, when he first came up, hit lightning in a bottle. The guy was great. And then it just went like this. The Red Sox invested in Campbell. They need to fix him. They need to get him more MLB ready. And that means more development. It was rushed. It was rushed 100%. Should they may have put Mayer up there to start the season? Coulda, woulda, shoulda. But you have a lot of these guys. I mean, it's going to be a lot of pressure, I will say, too. Because now fans are looking at this, you know, big three or big two, whoever you want to say, if they're on the roster, to lead this team.
Yeah, they're in a difficult spot. They've made their bed and now they've got to lie in it. And this goes on quite a lot. From Bregman's going to play second, never took a ground ball at second base. He's going to be the third baseman. Raffier the DH. Masataka Yoshida is probably out in the Grand Canyon, you know, having hot dogs or something. And
but don't worry, they're going to ramp him up now, Jim. He's going to be ready to rock and roll now.
It's going to be the same thing with Tristan Casas last year. Oh, he's not ready, and then boom, the week after, he's on first base. So that's just typical. But, you know, regarding these three kids, if you think back to the early 2000s and the four championship, the seven championship, and you look at the years even in between, it was very common for them to bring up potentially one rookie. And if he was not a pitcher and he was a position player, you'd bat him ninth. You'd take pressure off of them. You wanted them to grow into their ability and potentially higher up in that batting order.
Yep.
These three kids have been jammed down our throats for 4 years, give or take. And they better be right on every single one of them, because Campbell's up. Let's give him $60 million right away outside the chute. Meyer's up, and to your point, and I've said this on Twitter, he looks like a gold glove infielder already. And now Anthony is up. And if any of this moving around, and when I say moving around, Meyer at third, Meyer at short, Campbell at second, no, let's try you at first. Oh, let's put you, you know, take some reps at first.
Center field.
Yeah, we're going to put you left tonight and center tomorrow. Look, I've said this 1,000 times on other podcasts and so forth. I said, you can't do this to a rookie. They did this to Rafaela last year, and it was because of the story injury. But when you're a rookie and you're trying to learn a position, you have to learn tendencies of the opposing batters. You know, do they tend to spray the ball? What are the defensive lineups for everything? And they've got to be able to figure that out at short. Then he's got to figure that out in center. Well, it's the same thing with Campbell. You can't focus on your hitting because you're always being jerked around with a defensive situation. And then you look at Roman Anthony while he's been in right field. Well, you know what? We're going to bat you fourth today, you know, in your third or whatever it was, big league game. So they better hit on all these guys. Because if they don't, I don't know how you fix it moving forward this year or even down the road in the near future.
I mean, the core thing here is the development side of everything. I mean, if I was a player coming up as a rookie and you're telling me, oh, one day I'm playing short. Oh, the next I'm playing third. Oh, you want me in outfield this time. My mind's already going, what does this team want me to do? I can't be everything. Sometimes you just need that one sole focus to develop these players when they're rookies the correct way. And that's what scares the crap out of me, is that the development side of these guys, we've seen the Red Sox the past, what, 6 years it's been? A disaster. So, yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, I am nervous about what happens with these guys coming up, because we can't witness what we have just seen over the past 6 years with this organization. The organization can't get out of their own damn way. And a lot of it, again, starts from your top. John Henry. Have we heard from John Henry at any point? Have we heard him? And then you have Sam Kennedy, who I call Pinocchio boy. I mean, you can't believe one word out of his mouth.
No, he's only
And then Breslow's his little puppet master. That's what it is.
Sam Kennedy only is lying when he opens his mouth.
Anytime. I am so sick of it. Like that whole thing last night, it was a dog and pony show. It was pathetic. And that's just the core theme of how the Red Sox have been. And this isn't just coming from me. It's not just coming from Jim. People are loud and clear. I mean, if you were on that YouTube live Red Sox broadcast last night of that Zoom, they were getting torched. Torched. The comments, the responses. Fans have a right to be pissed off. And I am pissed off. I am so tired of wasting my time when you tell us, well, we went out this offseason, we've got Crochet, we got Bregman, our team, we're ready to win now. And you're seeing this go on? It is a circus, is what it is. It's a circus. And Alex Cora is driving the little bus on the circus mobile right for you. It's been a little bit better in the past. You know, we were on a 6-game winning streak. But I don't know about you, Jim. I mean, they're winning 2-0, 2-1, 1-0. They still aren't at a point where I'd say I'm confident yet. I'm not confident.
I mean, the optics are terrible. And, you know, Devers are not. I just don't like the Frady Cat way that they operate. You know, again, we talked earlier about winter weekend will never happen again because these guys don't have the stones to be able to take criticism appropriately. So let's go ahead and move Devers on a night before we're taking a 9-game road trip out to California when most of New England has to go to bed and go to work the next day. So they're not even going to be able to follow the games that clearly. I mean,
people out to dinner for Father's Day. And then you're seeing people drop plates at restaurants. Like, really?
Yeah.
That's what they did.
They spend more time trying to figure out how to hide themselves from everybody than they do trying to actually explain to us what their direction is. Because quite frankly, you know, I looked at it last night and I'm dumber for having watched that than I was before. And anybody that says that they actually agreed with anything that they said, I can't look you straight in the face and say, you're right. Because the Red Sox want you, me, and every listener and every fan to spend hours a year watching their product, spend money on their stupid Nesson, buy t-shirts, buy hats, buy souvenirs, and then you're going to go ahead and put out a product for the last few years that has been downright disgustingly awful. And then on a year that you say you're going to go ahead and compete now, get rid of your best hitter. Whether you pissed him off in the beginning, whether he got pissed off at you for the way you acted, it's irrelevant at this point. I truly believe that if they really wanted to move him for quite some time, there were many, many opportunities that they could have gotten a better deal on, whether it was closer to this deadline or even in this offseason. Getting Jordan Hicks, the kid that they got, that's their first round draft pick, I think is the 14th.
Tibbs.
He sucks in single A. If you look his numbers, he's terrible. So that's not looking so good. I'm really worried. Harrison, they're bringing him back into the triple A. I mean, he's coming from an organization that had Andrew Bailey, and I don't know what kind of work Andrew Bailey had with Hicks or him, but now he couldn't fix him there, so how is he going to fix him with a red and blue hat on?
The funniest line of the night last night was when Breslow said, we have a dominant mid-inning reliever coming our way in endeavors with Jordan Hicks. I could not stop laughing when he said that. I'm like, who says that? I'm still laughing. It's a joke. An absolute joke.
It's like when John Farrell wanted Papelbon. He said he's fresh and powerful.
Oh yeah, he has a lot of Christmas on the ball. Yeah, do you remember that line?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's just the Red Sox just do Red Sox things, and they're going to continue to do that. I want to switch gears a little bit. Go. Let's talk a little bit about this series. You know, I pleasantly surprised with last night's game. We've been getting some really good starting pitching over the last six or seven games. And, you know, let's be honest. Obviously, offense is very important, and you've got to be able to hit the ball. But you know what? You've got to have good starting pitching to be able to, you know, negate your opponent's offense. And I've been really, really happy with what I've seen. I don't know where this is coming from. I don't know why it hasn't been there in April or May. I'll take it now. But, Nick, is this sustainable?
Well, I mean, I was looking at it a little bit over the past week to see really what the difference here is in the pitching makeup. I mean, one thing is length. You're actually seeing pitchers throw past five innings. That's a rarity from Alex Cora. Usually he's going to Bernardino right away and burning his arm off come the fifth or sixth inning. So that's a huge thing to see length out of these guys. And a lot of it comes from the ability to be consistent on throwing strikes. I look at Bayo as a classic example of that. Had an awesome start against the Yankees. Bayo has always been one of those guys that's reminded me so much of Eduardo Rodriguez. You get your ups and downs. Is he going to throw a lot of pitches? Is he going to walk the ballpark? What are you going to get out of him? Because he's one of those guys that has to be mentally turned on and ready to go. I think the adjustment, the biggest one that I've noticed recently, is this stupid spin rate with the ball. Looks like they have completely thrown that process out the door and just learned how to throw again. That's what I've noticed.
God, I hope so.
The spin rate, the launch angle, the how freaking far the thing goes, how fast the ball is off the bat. I've had enough of it, Jim. I've had enough. The only stat I give a crap about is winning. That's it. Win.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think the biggest takeaway is this pitching with the adjustments made. I got to give a little credit to Bailey. I don't know if what has been done, but I haven't been screaming off, you know, Mount Everest for Andrew Bailey's firing in the past couple of weeks. I don't know about you.
Yeah, you know, this has worried me about the spin rate for the last couple seasons, because the bottom line is we've had more injuries to starters and relievers than I think any other major league team. And the reality is that you can't keep doing this. The Red Sox think in their own Red Sox wisdom that the faster you throw the ball, the harder and longer it's going to get hit. It's not working. Okay. You were not good last year. You were not good to start this year. Mm-hmm. Let's start throwing the ball with some velocity again and go with the old number one. The fastball is still the best pitch in baseball. I don't care what it is. And if you're going to keep having these guys spin the crap out of the ball, you're going to face injury and you're going to face other teams that are going to know exactly what you're doing in these counts, and you're speeding up their bats because they know the fastballs are not coming. They're going to get some off-speed pitch, and they're going to be ready for it. It's clear it's not working.
Yeah, I think the scouting report on the Red Sox from the early beginnings here of the season was just wait for the curveball. Just wait for something off speed. They're going to spin it. They're going to just float it right up there, and voila, there's your nice hit, or there's your big home run, you know, to win your game or something like that. So I agree 100%. You know, we have some guys. I mean, look at Crochet. Look at Aroldis Chapman with how hard they throw the ball. Blow it past these guys. I mean, look at the Red Sox bats in general. Most of them can't catch up to a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. They just can't. Look at Trevor Story, for example, Mr. Strikeout King himself. He can't touch it. You go upstairs on Jaron Duran, same deal. See you later. He'll strike out 3 times a game. So, I mean, you got to go with the number one, like you just said, the fastball. Get him out. And I think that adjustment that's been made has proven some good reward. Now, sustainable, like you said earlier. No, I don't. No. The only way I see sustainable is over a month's worth of time, sometimes months even, to see what happens here. I don't need a week. I don't need 2 weeks. I don't need 3 weeks. I need longevity. Show me the consistency. I can't stand the streakiness.
Totally agree. So in about 20 minutes, we got Walker Buehler against Wu, and then tomorrow we got Crochet against Castillo. What's your thoughts for tonight and tomorrow?
Walker Buehler is such a wild card. He's one of those guys that the Red Sox really banked on this offseason to have a rebound year. And I was one of those that I was like, you know what, maybe this is something that would be really good. But then in the back of my mind, I was saying to myself, why would the Dodgers, the best team in baseball, you know, for the past few seasons with everything, why would they let him go? There was a reason. Yep. There was. So tonight, I'm not feeling so hot about Walker Buehler. I think tonight we may regress here a little bit because he's been a roller coaster of a mess this season as well. You have your ups, you have your downs. I think the biggest thing here, if it's 3 runs or less, I give the Red Sox a chance. But if it's anything more than that, the bats, they don't hit. And they don't have any thump right now in their lineup. I think tonight you're seeing Ref Snyder as the DH. Christian Campbell is off tonight. But that's the biggest change I see. You do see Anthony and Meyer are also in the lineup this evening. And tonight is a right-handed pitcher. So you never know what you're going to get with Ref Snyder when it's a righty.
Yeah. I'm not confident in tonight's game. I think Wu is a really good pitcher. I think he's going to be able to neutralize the Red Sox bats. So I'm looking at a loss today. And I think as far as tomorrow's concerned, I know Castillo can go on a run, but I think that if Crochet can go 7 innings and he can obviously keep the ball off the field, strike out 10 plus, I feel pretty confident with tomorrow. Just from the standpoint is that the Mariners are not a good offensive team, and the fact that Giolito really had their number last night. So I think we can win 2 out of 3 here, and then it's off to San Francisco.
I'm going to say the same thing on it. I mean, Crochet's coming off his best start as a Red Sox. I was still heartbroken with that 9th inning when Judge hit that home run. He deserved that win so bad. But, you know, kudos to the Red Sox with getting that walk-off win that night. I think that was Saturday night. Is that Saturday night's game? Yeah. The biggest thing for him is building off of that momentum. I think there's a lot of confidence and a lot of swagger from Crochet right now to be that guy. And I think that, you know, with a lineup like the Mariners, that's kind of wishy-washy in a way. You know, they have, you know, your Julio Rodriguez and your Cal Raleigh. But even to tell you the truth, I mean, Raquel Raleigh's got 26 home runs. He's up to in the 50s for RBIs. He doesn't really scare Matt much of me. He really doesn't. He feels like he's a guy that you can get out still.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
So 2 out of 3 is what I'm going for. I don't think that this is going to be a good one tonight, but I do think tomorrow afternoon, I think the Red Sox can take the series.
Yeah, totally agree with you on that. Any last-minute things before we close for tonight?
Just one of the other bigger things from that Devers press conference. We did hear afterwards I'm going to cite him for his source. That's Pete Abraham came out. You can believe whatever you want on these, but he did come out and say that Devers and Breslow and Kennedy or whoever management was did discuss him being at first base. And Devers' biggest thing back to them was, if I'm going to first base, I don't care. That's fine. But I'm going to be staying at first base. And the Red Sox said, no, you're still going to be a DH or third base or wherever else we're going to be. So you can believe, again, whatever you want on that sort of thing. But that really, that kind of irked me, to tell you the truth, because that would have been your get out of jail free card if you're the Red Sox and you really wanted to make this work. You would have been, you know what? Sure, Rafi, we're going to put you there. Doesn't matter about Casas or anything. You know, we feel like your position moving forward is going to be first base. We have all the confidence in the world for you to do it. And they didn't. They didn't. So the kind of the Red Sox got what they deserve in a way.
Yeah, there's definitely blame on both sides as we sit here today on June 17th. I think, again, more is going to come out on this in the next couple of days or weeks. And then we can really come with a more definitive solution as who carries more of the blame. But that's going to wrap it up for tonight. Nick, thanks very much for joining us. Again, my name is Jim.
Welcome, Jim.
Yeah, we are Red Sox Digest. Check us out at RedSoxDigest.com. Sign up for a free publication of our digital articles. The subscription is free. You get them emailed to you on a daily basis. And there are some goodies for subscribers as well. Nick, have a good night. Everybody else, take care.
You too.